Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Elu dvarim shadam yotzei behen yidei chavuta bepetzach. These are the items, the grains that one may use in order to make matzah that he can use to be yotzei the chovah, the obligation to eat matzah on Pesach. The obligation, which we're going to again see later in the Gemara, relates to be'erev tochlu matzot, the obligation to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, which is the only time that there is an obligation to eat matzah. And for the remainder of Pesach, if one wants to eat matzah, from what does the matzah have to be made? So the Gemara says that it has to be made from the five grains, which are b'chitim, with wheat, b'se'urim, with barley, b'kusmim, which is spelt, b'shifon, which is rye, u'b'shibolo chual, which is oats. Now, the remainder of the Mishnah is something that we've seen before. It's a Mishnah that we saw in Brachot. We're going to see it again in Beitzah, Mishnah that we saw in Eruvin. A Mishnah that lays out items that are good to use in terms of their halachic status. Now, obviously the Mishnah wouldn't have to tell us about these items if they were clearly okay and perfectly fine. So in each one of the cases, the Gemara will tell us why this is maybe a subpar performance of the mitzvah or of the right to use this item. And then there's be a second list of items which are impermissible, which may not use because of the halachic issue with them. But again, the halakhic problem will not be as obvious as we thought, because otherwise the Mishnah doesn't need to tell us about that. The first of it is, v'yotzim b'dmai, one can use d'mai. D'mai is tvuah, grain or produce bought from an amma aretz, on which we have suspicions as to whether he's removed the trumot and masrot. Therefore, the chachamim obligated us to remove certain trumot once again, in order to ensure that there's no problem with this produce. But that type of produce, before you take off the additional tithings that the Chachamim instituted, you can still use it and be yotzei with regards to matzah. With maaser rishon shitnat trumato, maaser rishon, which has a requirement that trumat maaser be removed from it. So if you remove trumat maaser from it, you can use it. Now that's obvious. So the Gemara will give us what is the subpar aspect of this. With maaser sheni v'akdesh nifdu, maaser sheni and akdesh, which can be redeemed, and then the money is taken up to Yerushalayim or given to Hekdesh, and the item that you redeem becomes Chulin then. So again, if it's Chulin, it's obvious that you could utilize it for Matzah. So the Gemara will tell us what the subpar performance here is over here. Kohanim b'chala u'b'truma. Kohanim can use chala and truma, which is edible for them. Here the havamina would be that they couldn't use it because not everybody can eat truma and chala, only Kohanim. Avalo b'tevel. One may not use tevel. Now again, that should be obvious. Tevel is items that do not have trumot and masrot removed from them, and that should be obvious that you can't use it. So again, the Gemara will tell us what is the chiddush here. Velo b'maaser rishon shelo nitla trumato. Maaser rishon that does not have trumat maaser removed from it. Now that's obvious that you can't utilize that, because one who eats maaser rishon without trumat maaser removed from it has a chiyuv mita bidei shamayim, because it's still tevel the truma. So because of that, it's obvious that you wouldn't be able to use it. So again, the Gemara will have to give us the chiddush in this statement. Below maaser sheni v'ekdesh lo nifdu. Again, maaser sheni v'ekdesh that were not redeemed. Maaser sheni, obviously that's not up in Yerushalayim, but outside of Yerushalayim, because the requirement for maaser sheni is that it be brought up to Yerushalayim. So here they're not redeemed, so you may not use them. Again, that's obvious that you can't use it, because you're not allowed to eat maaser sheni, you're not allowed to eat hekdesh. So the Gemara will tell us what the chiddush is over here. Chalot toda urikike nazir. If one had baked loaves of bread, or rikike, or wafers for the din of a nazir, the korban a nazir, or for the todah. Now, all of those chalot, or matzot that are baked, are matzah. There is no chametz in the mikdash, except for within the todah. There are some lachmei todah that are chametz. But here we're speaking about the 30 loaves that are not chametz in the todah, as well as the loaves that are associated with the nazir's korban. So all of those items are baked, are not chametz. So they should be fine on Pesach. Now, asan latzmo, if he baked them for his own purposes, ein yotzei behen, then he cannot utilize them on Pesach. He cannot use them for matzat mitzvah. Asan limkor b'shulk, on the other hand, if he made them to sell to other people for use in their korbanot, then yotzin behen, then he can use them for the matzat mitzvah. The Gemara will explain to us what the difference is and why you can or cannot use them. This has to do with the idea of matzah shmura, and we'll get to that in the Gemara. Now we have, the Gemara says, Tana, kusmin, when it comes to the spelt, and you can see in Rashi the word kusmin, he uses aspelta, is min tchitin, is a subset of wheat. Now, in being a subset of wheat, Rashi says that the meaning of that, or the reason for the Gemara telling us this, is because of Trumot. Because when it comes to Trumot and Masrot, you're going to be mafrish mimin al mino. You're going to remove something from same species. You're going to be mafrish. You can't take apples for oranges or oranges for apples. You have to take items that are of a like species. So here the Gemara is laying out for us that spelt is a subset of chitim, whereas shibolet, shual, v'shifon comes to oats and rye, min seorim. They are a subset of the barley family, and they're considered to be one species. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. On the other hand, Tosafot says that the Ri says, based on the Gemara Menachot, it's obvious that this sugyo was talking about chala, and it's talking about siruf for chala. When, in order to be chayav in being mafrish chala, you have to reach a certain threshold, a certain minimum amount of dough that you're making. Now, can these items be mitzaref? Can they join together to meet that minimum? So over here, the Gemara tells us that chitim can be put together with kusmin to meet that minimum, and shibolet shual, v'shifon, and seorim can be together to meet that minimum standard. He also does mention that when it comes to kusmin over here, when it's spelled, the Gemara says it's a min chitim, it doesn't mean only a min chitim, but af min chitim. It's also a species of wheat, but it can also be used with seorim. So it has both aspects to it. But therefore, Tosafot thinks that it's speaking about the issue of being mitzaref, joining together to meet the minimum threshold for chala, which Rashi says it has to do with min b'mino with regards to truma. Are they considered to be one species to be mafrish trumot from one on the other? So now the Gemara is going to give us the common Aramaic term for these items. And again, kusmim, the Aramaic term for it is guba. As I pointed out before, Rashi says gubi is espelta balaz, espelt. Shifon is dishra, which again we said before was rye. Shibolet shu'al, which we said is oats, is shvilei talo, is the tail of the fox, which is the translation Hebrew, now we translate it into Aramaic. But these are the common terms, or the colloquial in Aramaic. And so the Gemara is telling us something from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is Hebrew, and it's written in Eretz Yisrael. So here, for the Gemara in Bavel, they're translating those Hebrew terms, or those species that are mentioned in the Mishnah in Hebrew, into the Aramaic, which would be the colloquialism for them, so they would know what they were. So now, Hani in, the Gemara says, these items, yes, Orez v'dochan lo. But on the other hand, rice and millet, one cannot use. So minahani millet. How do we know that that's the case? So I'm Rabbi Shimon Lakish, v'chein tane de beit Rabbi Shmo, v'chein tane beit Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Amar Kora, the Pasuk says, lo tochal alav chametz, shivat yamim tochal alav matzot. So we've seen this many times, the juxtaposition of the Isur Chametz to the Achilat Matzah in the Pasuk leads to many drashot, and this is one of them, which is Dvarim Abayim Lidei Chimutz Adam Yotzei Behem Yidei Chavato B'Matzah. Something that can reach the point of potential Chametz can be used for Matzah. On the other hand, Yatsu Elu, excluded from that are these items, She'en Bayim Lidei Chimutz, that never reach the point of leavening. Instead that they rot or they go bad, that you cannot ferment them, you cannot leaven them, and instead if you do that and you put them through that process, they will go bad, they will spoil, and they will not become chametz, they will not leaven. So only items that have the potential to become chametz may be utilized for the mitzvah of matzah. There are many that believe that that also leads to the fact that one should have matzot that are baked at a time where there's a possible Isur Chametz. And so because of that, there are some that bake matzot after chatzot on Erev HaPesach, because during that period of time, there's an Isur Chametz. So then, when you have that potential for Isur Chametz, that's when you have the chiyuv or the obligation to make those matzot that were prevented from reaching Chametz, and Azman Isur Chametz is what we're after in terms of the positive commandment to eat matzot. There are those, like Rav Re'im HaKohen from Otniel, Rosh Hashiva of Otniel, that believed that the matzot are baked on the night of Pesach. And then on Leila Seder, he goes and he bakes the matzot at Azman. Again, Azman, when there's an Isur to reach Chametz, an Isur not just of Erev Pesach, but an Isur of Karet, when you cannot bake Chametz whatsoever. And they bake matzot then. So he goes and bakes matzot on Leila Seder. Again, it's a shortened Seder in terms of giving up time to go and bake the matzot. But they bake the matzot that night, and then they bring those fresh matzot and eat them at the Seder itself. But that comes from this idea of matzah being the opposite of chametz, But matzah must have the potential to become chametz in order for it to be considered matzah. Matzah is something that was stopped from leavening, something that was prevented from reaching that point of leavening, and that's why it has to be something that could potentially reach chametz. Dochan and orez, rice, millet, do not have those features to them, and therefore they cannot be used for matzah. The Gemara says now, matnitin to lok Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Damar, because he says, orez mindaganu. He says rice is a type of grain. V'chayvina chimutzo karet. And if it becomes chametz, you would be chayav karet for it. Titanyo. We have a bright Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri oser be'orez v'dochan. V'vnesha karov l'achmitz. Yochanan ben Nuri says, orez and dochan are problematic because they are close to becoming chametz. They are potentially on the borderline of becoming chametz. So now, what does that mean? Karov liot chametz. Ibaylu shekarov lachmitz. Does it mean that they come quicker? Karov mean can be sooner or closer. So does it mean that they leaven faster? The kadimu machmitz. Odilma karov lachmitz means havi chametz gamur lo havi. That they reach close to being chametz, but they don't reach the real impact of being chametz. And point out, Rashi points out, the nafkamina would be whether you're chayav karet or not. That if it doesn't really reach the point of full leavening, then you would not be chayav for karet for that. So tashma, we have a proof. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, orez min daganhu. Orez, rice, is a type of grain. V'chayvin al chimutzo karet. And you're obligated, if it becomes karet, karet. V'adam yotzei bo yedei chuvato b'pesach. And you can use it for matzah and Pesach. So we see here that karov lachmit for him means that it's more expeditious in becoming chametz. It leavens faster because here he's saying that you would get karet for making chametz out of orez. And you can utilize it for matzah and Pesach. So it's clear that he believes that it has a full-fledged aspect of chametz to it. V'chein haya Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer. Karamit, which is this cow wheat, chayevet b'chala. My karamit, what is this karamit? Amar Abaye. Shitznita, it's weed, or type of weed. Rashi says ketzach, which is something that they cut for animal feed. My shitznita, again, what is this shitznita? Amar Papa, shitznita, demishtachacha b'nei kalnita. It's the shitznita that grows ben the kalanita. Today in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if this is the same word, but the kalanit, which grow in Eretz Yisrael today, the poppies that grow there, could be that's what it's referring to. Others say that it is the Papaver spinosum, which is the Latin term for the word kalanita, is what we're speaking about here. Whatever this is, Rashi says it's close to a ke'en dochan, it's similar to millet, b'shachor, and it's a black circular item. So here we have different forms of descriptions. The Gemara is trying to figure out exactly what this karamit is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is speaking about. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Reish Lakish. Isa shinolusa biyayin, lilosha biyayin. If you have dough that was kneaded with wine, shemen and oil, udvash, or honey. Not water, but rather they use these items instead to knead the dough. I mean, they put the flour together with these liquids in order to make the dough. Ein chayavin al chimutza karet. You are not chayav karet for that type of chametz on Pesach. Yoti rapapa ravuna breder yeshua kamed rav idi ba'avin. Rav Papa Rav Huna Bered Yeshua was sitting in front of Rav Yidi Bavin. V'yotiv Rav Yidi Bavin v'kamen amnim. Rav Yidi Bavin was sitting there, but he was dozing off. Amarle Rav Huna Bered Yeshua Rav Papa. So the other two were discussing amongst themselves. My time with the Reish Lakish. What's the reason behind Reish Lakish's din over here? That he says that Isa Shinulusha B'yayin Shemen and Dvash, you're not chayav karet on it. So Amarle Damar Kroa, the Pasuk says, Lo tochal alav chametz. Because you're not allowed to eat something that is chametz. Dvarim. Shadam yotzei bo yedei chavuto bepesach bematzah chayvin al chimutzo karet. So here is the usage of the pasuk in the reverse form, which is if you can utilize such an item for matzah, then you're chayav for it in terms of chametz, or but chametz in the terms of karet, you'll get the full punishment for eating chametz. Vaha ho v'in adam yotzei ba yedei chavuto. These items cannot be used for matzat mitzvah and pesach. Davilei matzah ashira, because this is considered to be rich bread. Or it's a bread that does not qualify as lechemoni. The pasuk says that this has to be the bread of affliction, the bread of the poor. And this is matzah shira, which is the matzah either of the wealthy or matzah shira. It's a rich bread as opposed to a poor bread or poor man's bread. So this matzah ashira cannot be utilized for the matzah on Pesach to Yotzei Yudei Chovato. So since you can't use it for matzat mitzvah, the definition, because of the adjacency, the juxtaposition, the pasuk, it also teaches us that you're not chayav karet for such chametz on Pesach. Therefore, in chayvin achimutza karet. So Edvei Rav Huna Bredi Rav Shula Rav Papa. So Rav Papa who made this suggestion, Huna Bredi Rav Shula asks him, Himchao begam o, if he liquefies it, he takes it down to a liquid and then swallows it, im chametzu anush karet. If he did this to chametz, and then he swallows it, you're chayav karet for doing such an item. Via matzahu, on the other hand, if it's matzah, in adam yotzei chuvato bePesach. You can't utilize this for the matzat mitzvah on Pesach. So you see here, they have a dislocation, or a break between the dinim. You have here a din where the chametz would be chayav karet, and nevertheless, this still doesn't work for matzah. So we see that the two are not necessarily correlated. Here you can't use it for matzat mitzvah, but yet you still would be chayav if it was chametz karet. So how do you know, or why you think that over here the two are correlated? So bentayim, in the meantime, itar behu Rav Idi Bar Avin. Rav Idi Bar Avin awakens. Amarlu dardike, my young ones. Hainu time of the Reish Lakish. Let me explain to you the reason behind Reish Lakish. Mashum davale may peirot. Because these liquids are not water, but rather fruit juices. And since they are fruit juices, may peirot ain machmitzim. When it comes to fruit juices don't become chametz. They are unable to cause the leavening of the item. And because they are unable to cause the leavening of the item, therefore, there's no problem of chametz. That's why Reish Lakish says you're not chayav karet for chimutzan, because there is no chametz. They don't reach that point of chametz on Pesach. Now, there's a large Tosafot over here which discusses this issue of ein peirot, ein machmitzim, the first of which is, Tosafot says, hainu lit chayav karet. They're not machmitz so that you are chayav karet on Pesach. In other words, aval lav itbe. There's still an isur lav from eating them on Pesach. So Tosfot says that Reish Lakish was particular in his language, and the language of Reish Lakish is that you're not chayav karet, implying that you would be chayav for a lav, for a lotase. So yes, mei perot ayin machmitzim, they don't leaven to the point where you're going to be chayav karet, but based on this line in Tosfot, they leaven enough that there's an isur lav from consuming them on Pesach. But the Rabbeinu Tam believes Ein machmitzin kol ikar, that they do not make chametz whatsoever. They are perfectly fine, and you can eat them on Pesach. The only time we have a problem, the only time when there's an issue, is when you mix water together with them. So if you have water and mei peirot, then there's a problem of possibly machmitzin, and that's where Rabbeinu Tam says, we say that there's no chiyuv karet, but there's a chiyuv lav. So if you have water and fruit juices mixed together, if they become chametz, then they will not be chayav karet, but they will have an isur lav associated with them, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Whereas, if you use solely fruit juices over there, there is no chiyuv whatsoever. You could eat those items on Pesach. They cannot become chametz. That is a position of the Rabbeinu Tam. In addition to that, at the end of the Tosafot, he mentions that umei beitzim, when it comes to the liquid of eggs, what we call egg matzah, Nistapek Rashi. Rashi was uncertain as to what the status of egg matzah is. Ichoshiv mei peirot olo. Do our eggs, or liquid eggs that are used to put together with the flour to make the egg matzos, is that a problem? So Rashi said, well, it depends. If you consider it mei peirot, if you consider it to be fruit juices, or if you consider it to be a liquid or a water of some sort, and therefore be problematic. So Rashi had a safek with regards to this. He was uncertain as to what that status was. Aval Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam, Nahog Heter Badovar. Rabbeinu Tam believed that eggs were the equivalent of mei peirot, and therefore was not problematic whatsoever. And you definitely could eat these matzot, they were not problematic at all. And there Tosfot says, Vayah Nuheg, the chol be'erev Pesach achar arba shot. After the fourth hour, when it's asur v'chametz, and it's also asur in matzah, because you have to come to the seder with an appetite for matzah, so the Gemara says that it's inappropriate that one may not eat matzah on Erev Pesach. It's kilo boel as rusato bebeit chamiv if he eats matzah on Erev Pesach. So the minhag is maybe for some people is to not eat matzah for a longer period. But medina de Gemara, the Gemara says that one may not eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So after the fourth hour on Erev Pesach is always a difficult time. You're not allowed to eat chametz anymore. but you also cannot eat matzah. So the Rabbeinu Tam's minog was that he would eat matzah that was made with egg. Egg matzah he would eat on the afternoon of Pesach. Why? Because that's something that you cannot use for Leila Seder. And Rabbeinu Tam agrees that that is not considered, that's considered matzah shira, and therefore cannot be used for the night of Pesach because you need lachamoni. But in terms of chametz, it's definitely not chametz. And number two is, since you cannot use it for the Leila Seder, he doesn't think that it's disqualified from being eaten on Erev Pesach, because these egg matzot are matzah shira and cannot be used Leila Pesach. Therefore, they don't ruin your appetite for the matzah at night, because they're a different item, they're a different category. All right, the Gemara coming up in the next couple of dapim, we'll come back to Mei Peirot, and we'll discuss this again, and then talk about the Aloha the Maaseh with regards to Mei Peirot and egg matzahs. I'm just pointing it out because Tosafot speaks about it over here. So now, back to the Gemara. As I mentioned from the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss here why each of the items that mentioned in the Mishnah has some Chiddush associated with it, because otherwise you wouldn't need to tell us this information. So now the Gemara says, you're allowed to use demai for matzah. Demai, hayalo chazile. Why can you use demai for matzah? It's not ra'ui to be eaten. So why are you allowed to utilize it? So the Gemara says, since if he wanted to, he could disown for all of his property. He could relinquish control of all of his property and become quote unquote poor. Haviani, then he would be poor. Va'ochel demai. And because of that, he could eat demai. Hashtanami chazile, therefore now too he can utilize demai. Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. Machlim et aniim demai. Those people that are poor, you're allowed to give them demai. Chazal gave that dispensation that one can give demai to the poor people, and you were not required to take off Shumot and Masrot again. That has to do with the basic principle, is that Rov Amei Aretz Masrim Heim. Majority of Amei Aretz do take off Shumot and Masrot. So first of all, we're only dealing with a minority to start with. So because it's a minority, and Chazal imposed the Chumrah to take off the Shumot and Masrot because they wanted to make sure that people don't eat Tevel or take the risk of eating something that has Mitah B'dei Shamayim, so they take it off. But when it comes to the Ni'im, and here, this is something where the public is supporting other individuals, they're not going to require that loss be taken to remove the masrot again because of this chashash of demai. So that's the dispensation for aniyim. So, and in addition to that, not only are the aniyim can feed demai, but achsanya demai. So too the troops can be fed demai. Rashi says over here, the troops that we're speaking about here are Jewish troops. Jewish troops that are sent to each of these cities to protect the cities from foreigners or from invasions. So those troops that are staying, the city themselves to support those soldiers. And Rashi says the soldiers have the status of aniyim because they're away from home. They're dependent on the tzibur for their food, and therefore they have a classification like an ani. So just like demai can be given to ani, so too demai can be given to the achsanya. On the other hand, Tosafot says that the demai that we're talking about here for achsanya is foreign troops. Non-Jewish troops, troops of the government, which the government imposes on the city to support. So again, over here, if we're going to give the food anyway to a non-Jew, we're not going to obligate the individual to take off Trumot to Masrot again because of demai. We just allow them to give the demai directly to the Nachorit to support them. Why should we have to take an additional loss when there's really no benefit because the one who's consuming it in the end doesn't have an issue with Tevel? So those are the belief that the Ani and the Achsanya can get demai according to Chazal. And because of that, an individual who uses demai on Pesach is yotzei with matzah, because again, he could disown or relinquish control over all of his possessions, and by doing so, he'd be an ani, and he could have eaten the demai. Tosafot over here brings from the read that he's misupak, but that is din is lachatchila or bidyevin. Is it bidyevin, meaning that since one could relinquish their control, if they did eat matzah of demai, it would be okay? Or do we say it's lachatchila? Since it is possible to eat it without any strings attached to it, therefore the chatchila, you could eat it or you're able to eat it. So that is, Tosafot leaves that as a safek as to whether the Gemara speak on a level of the chatchila or b'dievet over here of utilizing demai. V'am Rav Huna, Tana de Beit Shammai, Umrim, Eim Achlim et Anim demai, Vet Achsanya demai. Beit Shammai believes that you cannot give demai to the poor people or to the troops. Beit Hillel Umrim, Achilim, Maaseh, Machilim. Beit Hillel says you are able to feed demai to the troops or to the aniim. Obviously, we pass like Beit Hillel, and for that reason, the Mishnah says over here that if one uses matzat demai, they are yotzei. Now, the Gemara moves on to the next thing in the Mishnah, maaser rishon, shetvah chumato. Maaser rishon that has chumat maaser removed from it. Pshita, the Gemara says, what do I need to know that for? Of course, if you took off the Trumat Maser from the Maaser Rishon, what's left behind is Chulin. Of course, you can utilize that for Matzah. Kemet Shinla Trumata Chulin Abi. As soon as you remove the Trumat Maser, it becomes Chulin. Lo, Tzricha. The case here is Shikdimo Bishibolim. He went and took it. The Levi went in early and took it while it was still stalks. Now, when he still took it to sell stalks, that's a point in time where it's Chayav in Maser, but it's not Chayav in Trumot yet. Because Trumah has to be removed only once it reaches the point of Dagan or Idgan, which is the point where it's Meruach HaKri, where it's piled up, and you smooth over the pile. It's when you're done with the processing of the material. On the other hand, the Chiyuv Maser starts way back from the time that the grain reaches one-third of its growth. Then there's already a Chiyuv Maser. So the Chiyuv Maser devolves upon the produce before the Chiyuv Trumah. Now, as far as taking off the matnot from the grain, the Torah says, Reishit Gancha, that Trumah is the first item that you take off. So therefore, we wait until after it reaches the point of Chiyuv Trumot, and then after that, we're Mafrish Trumah, and then Maaser, in that order. Trumah Gedolah first, then Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon comes as a residual after the Trumah Gedolah is removed. Now, what happened here was the Levi jumped the gun, and he went, he took his Maaser Rishon before it reached the point of Chiyuv Trumah. So then he did this because he saves himself. When he gets Maaser Rishon, now he gets 10% of the whole, which is, if you have 100, it's 10% of the whole, would be 10. He would get a full 10% then. Whereas if he waits for the Kohen to take his Trumah Gedolah first, which is 1/50th or 2%, then he would only get 10% of the remaining 98%, or 9.8%, 9.8 of the value. So he gains here by going in early and taking his Maaser Rishon, he gains. Then he has to remove Trumat Maaser from it. Trumat Maaser for the Levi is to remove 10% of whatever he took for Maaser Rishon. So in the case where he took it up front, he went ahead and took his full 10% because he took it before the Trumat Gedolah was taken off. They don't have to give 10% of that to the Kohen, which is 1%. So the Kohen will get 1% of the total produce over here because he'll lose out on the Trumat Gedolah on this piece. But he'll get the Trumat Maaser and he'll get more Trumat Maaser out of it. On the other hand, if the Levi had waited, the Levi himself would only get 9.8%, and therefore the Kohen, if he got 10% of that, would get 0.98. But he'd get the 0.98 plus the additional 2% he would have gotten up front from the Trumah Gedolah. So in this instance, the Chachamim say, if the Levi goes in early and takes the Maaser Rishon from this before Trumah Gedolah was removed from it, then, if he takes off Trumat Maaser, if he simply takes off Trumat Maaser, and not Trumat Gedolah, it's fine. Why is it fine? Kid Rabbi Abou. Dam Rabbi Abou, my Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. The Pasuk says, Maaser Rishon, Shikdimo Bishibolim. If the Levi takes Maaser Rishon when it was still in the Shibolim, still in the stalks, before there's a Chiyuv Trumah, Patur mi Trumat Gedolah. He does not have to give Trumat Gedolah. Shinemar, because the Pasuk says, Varimotem mimenu Trumat Hashem, Maaser mina Maaser. When you remove from it Trumat Hashem, you take off Maaser mina Maaser. You take off Trumat Maaser, velo Trumat Gedolah mina Maaser. So that's what the Gemara says here. Maaser mina Maaser, amarti lecha, you can take off Trumat Maaser, velo Trumat Gedolah, u Trumat Maaser mina Maaser. You don't have to take off Trumat Gedolah and Trumat Maaser over here. So therefore, what happened here was the Levi jumped the gun, went in early, was not proper what he did. And he took his Maaser Rishon, and then when he takes his Maaser Rishon, he only has to remove Trumat Maaser and not Trumat Gedolah. So that's what our Mishnah is speaking about. A case here where the Levi took his Maaser Rishon early and he gave Trumat Maaser and no Trumat Gedolah. So you would have thought that's problematic. No, the Mishnah teaches us that's okay because of his limud of Rabbi Abou, that when the Levi takes it, he's only obligated to give Trumat Maaser and not Trumat Gedolah. Because the Pasuk tells us, from the Maaser Rishon, you only have to give Trumat Maaser. You don't have to give Trumat Maaser and Trumat Gedolah. So therefore, the Levi is patur from Trumah Gedolah, and ends up benefiting from doing this. If that's the case, maybe it should be the same thing. Even after the Gemar Malocha becomes Chayav in Trumah, namili pater. Maybe also over there, you should be patur. Based on the Pasuk, or the way the Pasuk reads, it should be that Maaser Rishon never has Trumah Gedolah and Trumat Maaser taken from it. So if the Levi comes here after the Chiyuv Trumah, after the point where he's Chayav in Trumah, and he says, listen, I want to take my Maaser Rishon before the Trumah Gedolah. Then if I look at the Pasuk still says you should only have to give Trumat Maaser from this, not Trumah Gedolah. So Rav Papa says, why does it have to be Bishibolim? Maybe it can be even after the Kri. So Amalei, so Rav Papa answers back to Malecha, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says about you, Mikol matnodechem terimu et kol trumat Hashem. You have to give truma gdola from any matana, including my Maaser Rishon. You have to give truma gdola. Mar says umar reita. So then, how do you know which is which? So he answers up, hi idgan, hi lo idgan. The difference is whether the chiyuv truma already devolved upon the grain or the produce that's here. If the Maaser Rishon is taken off before there was ever a chiyuv truma, in that case, the pasuk that says that you only take off trumat maser and not trumat gedola applies to that grain, and the Maaser Rishon only needs trumat maser removed from it, whereas trumat gedola does not have to be removed, and the Levi benefits in that case. He did something wrong, because that's not the proper order of the matanot, but he doesn't have to be mafrish trumat gedola. On the other hand, if the produce or grain is already chayav in truma, in that case, if the Levi jumps the gun and takes his Maaser Rishon, then from that Maaser Rishon, the Levi will have to remove Trumat Maser and Trumat Gedola. You have to take off both of them in order to get the Kohen whole. He'll have to make the Kohen whole to get it back to the equivalent of his Trumat Gedola. And the reason being, because Haidgan, because it's already reached the point of Chiyuv Trumat. And once it reaches the point of Chiyuv Trumat, the Levi can't remove that Chiyuv. Just because he went and took the Maaser Rishon, he can't remove it. And he has to take off Trumat Gedola from that item. And that's the difference between whether it's before Chiyuv Truma or after Chiyuv Truma. Before Chiyuv Truma, then he does not have to give Truma Gdola from his Maaser Rishon. Whereas after the Chiyuv Truma devolves upon this grain or produce, then he will have to give both Trumat Maser from his Maaser Rishon, as well as make whole the grain for his Truma Gdola that he lost out of by him taking it early. So this is a way to make the grain whole in this case, because it happened, or the Levi jumped the gun after it was already Chayav in Truma. Now the Gemara says, Maaser Sheni v'Hekdesh Shenifdu. Maaser Sheni and Hekdesh that were redeemed. Again, Pshita, it's Chulin. You redeemed them. Of course you can eat them. Gemara says, Lachem Maaskinan, Shenatana to Kerem, Lontana to Chomesh. He gave the principal amount to redeem it, but he didn't pay the extra fifth. When the owner of an item redeems, whether it's Maaser Sheni or Hekdesh, the Torah says he has to add on an additional fifth. He has to add on an additional amount when he redeems it. So if he does not add on that additional amount, it's not the proper way to redeem it. But what the Gemara is saying here, the Mishnah tells us it's not me'akev. K'mashalan, then ain't chomesh me'akev. That extra fifth is not me'akev, it working. So since he gave the principal amount, since he gave the true value of the item, therefore it's redeemed, and he can utilize it. He still owes the chomesh, but the chomesh doesn't stop him from moving it to chulin. And since it's chulin here, he can use it for matzah. Kohanim bechala b'chuma. The kohanim can eat chala and chuma. Again, pshita. Kohanim are permitted to eat chala and chuma, so why can't they use it for matzah? We would have thought that you need matzah that can be eaten by anyone. But that's not the case here. These can only be eaten by kohanim, so maybe it should be precluded from being used for matzah. K'mashmalan, matzot, matzot riba. The k'mashmalan is that the word matzah is said many times, or plural of matzot, and therefore we have a riboy, an inclusion that says, as long as you can eat it, it is sufficient, that can be matzah. Avalo betevel, you can't use tevel. Tevel is an item which does not have the matnot removed from it. Tevel, of course you can't eat from it. It's not permissible to eat it. Pshita. Now, Gemara says, lo betzricha betevel tvul midrabanan. Something that was tevel only rabbinically. Shazaro, in a case where he planted batzit shen in akub, he planted in a pot that doesn't have a hole on the bottom of it. So he planted in a pot that doesn't have a hole on the bottom of it. It does not grow from the ground. If it doesn't grow from the ground, it's not chayav. Mitzvot atvuyot ba'aretz. It's not tevel min haTorah. The Rabbanan imposed tevel on it so that people would still have to give Trumot Masrot from this, but that's only rabbinically ordained. Nevertheless, what the Gemara says here, even though it's only tevel midrabanan, and you're not allowed to eat it midrabanan, that still precludes you from utilizing it for matzah. V'lo b'maaser rishon shelo nitla trumato, and you can't use maaser rishon that does not have Trumah removed from it. Again, pshita, that's simple. If you don't take off Trumah from Maaser Rishon, of course you can't give him. Here we're thinking it's Trumat Maser. The Gemara says, lo, tzricha shikdimo bikri, that he went ahead and took it early. The Levi took it early. Mad tema, what I have thought, kedamar le'rapapa le'abaye, the way the Rapapa says to Abaye, that, oh, okay, over there too, you should be patur from Trumat Gedola, and only have to give Trumat Maser. K'mashalan, k'shani le, no, the answer is like what Abaye said, that Rabbi Bo's pasuk, over there the pasuk only refers to a case where it's before Chiyuv Trumah. But it's after Chiyuv Truma, then from the Maaser Rishon, he has to give both Truma Gidola and Trumat Maser. So over here, when we're saying Lo Nitla Trumato, is when he takes, the Levi took Maaser Rishon, he separated out Trumat Maser, but he did not take off Truma Gidola. That will be problematic. Because this, when we're talking about this Maaser Rishon, we're talking about it when the Levi took it after the Chiyuv Truma, after the Dagan, after the Kri, And therefore, he's obligated to give Truma Gdola. If he doesn't give it, then it's asur to use that item for matzah. Lo v'maiser sheni v'egdesh shelo nifdu. You can't use maiser sheni and egdesh, we're not redeemed. Again, pshita, they're not redeemed, then you can't eat them. So why would you have a question about this? Where it says, lo, that's not the case here. Lo v'maiser sheni v'egdesh, they were redeemed. My lo nifdu, what it means that they weren't redeemed? Shelo nifdu kil chatan. They were not redeemed properly. Maiser sheni, what does it mean to not redeem maiser sheni properly? Shebedo'o agava simon. He used an unminted coin. He used a coin that does not have an image on it. V'rachmana amar, and the Torah and Shem says, Tzarta kesef. It says, Tzarta kesef yadecha. The pashtut of pasuk is that you wrap up. You take the money and wrap it up and take it up to Yerushalayim to utilize and to spend in Yerushalayim. But Chazal darshan on the word v'tzarta, that it has to be davar sheyesh lo tzura. That the coin used to redeem the Maiser Sheni has to have an image on it. Without an image on it, you may not utilize it to redeem. So over here, Rashi says an asimon is a blank coin. It's a slug. And you may not utilize that for redeeming. If you do redeem it, even though it's the true value of the item, it doesn't work. And you can't use it for matzah because it still remains kodesh. V'hegdesh. What is a problematic redemption of hegdesh? Shechilo gabi karka. You try to redeem it with land. Rachman amar natata natana kesef, that you'll give the money. So there are those Rashi darshans, but natana kesef is that it has to be money. It has to be an item. It has to be not real property, but it has to be something that can be given from hand to hand. It has to be kesef. So that's why if you use karka, it doesn't work. Tosafot, on the other hand, says it's a klalu pratu klal, and there's a limit from there to exclude items that are not karka, that are not things that are real property, as well as avadim and shtarot. Avadim because they're similar to karka, and shtarot because they have no inherent value to them. They only tell you about an O, IOU, but they themselves have no inherent value. And that's a klau pratu klau that we use in many places to exclude these items of karka, shtarot, and avadim. So over here, the reason is there's a klau pratu klau, and that teaches us that karka is precluded from being used as a redemptive compensation or currency for redeeming hegdesh. And so because of that, the Hekdesh remains Kodesh, and you can't use it for Matzah. Tanu Banan, Yucho Yutzei Adam Yidei Choto B'Tevel Shelo Nitkan. You would think that a person cannot be Yotzei's Chova with Tevel that was not prepared or fixed, meaning that it doesn't have the Trumot Masro taken off of it. So Gemara says, Kol Tevel Nami Lo Nitkan. What do you mean that this is not taken off? Tevel, by definition, is not nitkan. That is the definition of tevel. Tevel is something that matnot have not been taken off of it. Shumot and masrot have not been removed from it. Ela, betevel shalun nitkan kol tzorcho. Talking about tevel that was not completely taken care of. Shenitna mimenu tshuma gdola. Velo nitna mimenu tshumat maser. It's a case where tshuma gdola was removed from it, but tshumat maser was not removed from it. Maiser rishon, velo maiser sheni. Maiser Rishon was removed from it, but not Maiser Sheni. Vafilu Maiser Ani, or even if Maiser Ani. So if any one of the matnot are not removed from it, then it remains Tevel. And if it's Tevel, you cannot, Yotzei Adam Yidei Chovato, but Tevel Shelo Nitkan. You would think that a person could be Yotzei with it. The answer is that you can't, because Talmud Lomar, Lo Tochal Olav Chametz. Mi Sheyisro Mishum Bal Tochal Chametz. Only something that's only restriction for consuming it is an Isur Chametz. Here the Easter is not the consumption, you're right. You can't eat it because it's a problem of chametz. But there's an additional Easter prior to the problem of chametz, which is bal tuchal tevel. You can't eat it because it doesn't have the trumot and masrot removed from it. Wait a minute. What happened to the Easter chametz? Yes, there's an Easter tevel, but there's still an Easter chametz over here. So I'm Rav Sheshet Amani Rav Shimon. This is Rav Shimon. Damar ein isur chal al isur. That we have a principle that when you have one isur that's already there, a second isur cannot come and fall or devolve upon this item. So here, since there's an isur tevel already, you can't have an isur chametz come on top of that and cause a problem. All right, we're going to stop here because we'll get to the sugya of isur chal al isur, ein isur chal al isur tomorrow because it's a big sugya. But we'll end with this over here, which is that if someone has tevel, even partially tevel, which means that it's only had a portion or the major or majority of the items removed from it in terms of matnot, whether it's a maaser rishon that's already moved, trumah gedola, trumat maaser, all these items removed, if any one of the items that is supposed to be removed has yet to be removed, the item still has a shem tevel, and it's a shem tevel, it's asur to consume it because of tevel. Since it's asur to consume it because of tevel, there is no Isur Chametz that is associated with it. If there's no Isur Chametz associated with it, then obviously you can't use it for matzah as well. Because without Isur Chametz, you can't have Achilat Matzah or use it for the Chovah of eating matzah. So here, since it's Tevel, the problem here is Tevel and not Chametz, and since the problem of Tevel and not Chametz, then you can't use it for matzah. Now, the Gemara answered, well, what happened to the Isur Chametz? There's still an Isur Chametz here, even if there's an Isur Tevel, there's an Isur Tevel plus an Isur Chametz. Gemara says, this is Alpi Rabbi Shimon who says, Ein Isur Chalal Isur. You can't stack on additional Isurim. Since the Isur Tevel was there first, when the Isur Chametz comes, that does not help you out in order to make this item Asur Be Chametz, therefore could be utilized for matzah on Pesach. As Rashi points out, in all of these cases, these items become what we call mitzvah abba be'avira. It's a mitzvah that you're trying to do through an avira. So, since it's a mitzvah abba be'avira, one can't utilize these items for matzah on Pesach. Many of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi and say that the problems here are not mitzvah abba be'avira, and that has to do with how they define mitzvah haba be'avira. Now, in this latter case over here, we see that the havamin of the Gemara is that items that have kedusha, which are of higher status or cause chiyuv mita b'dei shamayim, once they're removed, maybe the tevel would be okay to use. And the Gemara says, no, that's not okay to use because there's still an iser tevel that remains, and that iser tevel causes a problem for you in terms of utilizing this for matzah on Pesach. Okay, we'll stop over here.